Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, afternoon, or evening, depending upon where you are in the world. This is Walter Davis with Progress in the World Radio Show, coming to you from beautiful Canyon Lake, California. And once again, we have the luxury of having Dr. Jessica Heyman from Sedona, Arizona. And today we're going to be talking about Lyme disease. Welcome to the show, Jessica.
Thank you so much, Walter. It's great to be back.
Wonderful. And we also have a treat in that we have Nilsa Higgins. She's a new producer that's joining us here at Progress in the World.
Good morning. This is Nilsa, and I am so happy to be here this morning. The shows are educating, and I just can't wait to get involved.
Well, wonderful. And Nilsa is going to be having a show focused primarily on Latinas and the issues that they face in today's world, among other current events. So without any further ado, Dr. Heyman, can you tell us what Lyme disease is?
Yeah, so Lyme disease is a disease that's transmitted through a tick, typically, a tick bite. And the tick bite is usually transmitted with Borrelia burgdorferi, which is a bacteria, a spirochete bacteria, that goes into the body and can create a whole host of issues. Now, most Lyme disease that we see in my practice in chronic, you know, is chronic Lyme disease. So it's not so much the acute Lyme disease. So typically when someone gets bit by a tick, a lot of times they might get what's called a bullseye rash, which is a red rash that kind of literally has like a target lesion in the middle with usually the tick in there or where the tick bit, and then it has an outside circle of redness. And that usually is when, you know, when the tick implants, usually for even less than 24 hours, but over 24 hours, you can pretty much assume that you've got Lyme disease. So if it's not treated within 24 to 36 hours with antibiotics once you've been bitten, then what can happen is it can go into what's called chronic Lyme disease. And that's what I see a lot of in my practice, not so much the acute infections, but chronic Lyme disease. And chronic Lyme disease is a huge problem in our society today that hasn't really gotten the attention I feel it deserves from the traditional medical community. Because the thing with chronic Lyme disease, it can present with so many other symptoms that might look like other diseases. And so it gets missed a lot by a lot of our docs, because a lot of them pass it off to say that, oh, well, you know, you can really only get Lyme in the northeast of the United States. We don't have Lyme here. But it's really untrue. We can get Lyme when we're bit by a tick at any given moment, even if you don't develop that bullseye rash. So I feel as though, you know, just bringing Lyme disease to people's attention, because a lot of people can have these, can have different types of symptoms and signs, neurological symptoms, gut symptoms, chronic fatigue syndrome, fibromyalgia, and, you know, and we kind of chalk it up to, you know, people's mental, emotional issues or whatever, when it really could be this pervasive spirochete that's just creating a whole host of chronic issues down the road. And most people develop chronic Lyme disease issues typically months to years after getting bitten by a tick. So I just wanted to today kind of bring to light ways that you can get treated, how you can get diagnosed, who would be open to looking into Lyme disease if you have, you know, chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia, neurological issues that aren't getting properly diagnosed or classified by your doctor, to maybe look into Lyme.
So what is the difference between chronic and acute Lyme disease? I would imagine chronic means something that's long-term. Acute is something that's more intense.
Correct. Acute Lyme is basically right after you get bitten by the tick. So acute Lyme is something that can be handled within, the best time would be within 24 to 36 hours after getting bit, but it is definitely treatable up to 7 days after getting bit. Now, treating it past that 7-day mark, your likelihood of catching it, nipping it in the bud, and from it, from stopping it from proliferating down the road into chronic Lyme probably increases if you don't treat it after within that 7-day mark of actually getting bit. So the acute Lyme is basically, you know, when you first get that bullseye rash, or some people don't even get the bullseye rash. You know, if you've been bitten by a tick, there is a 50% chance that you probably might have the have Lyme disease even without the rash. So it's always great to get to just treat with antibiotics. Unfortunately, that's the standard of care, and even, you know, Lyme experts would all agree, and naturopathic physicians would all agree, that treating with an antibiotic right away is the way to nip it in the bud so that Lyme does not progress into what's called chronic Lyme disease, which can snowball into a lot of, like I had mentioned, a lot of other signs and symptoms and disease processes that really can take a toll on a person and debilitate some people immensely, from what I've seen in some patients and in speaking with colleagues. It really can debilitate a person to the point where, you know, they can't leave their bed. So it's, and I think a lot, it gets overlooked a lot with a lot of physicians. It's kind of, you know, because they don't consider like Arizona a hotbed for Lyme disease, then it's not usually taken into account with certain differential diagnoses. So it really is imperative to, if you are having chronic fatigue or fibromyalgia or weird neurological symptoms, that, you know, you might want to get screened for Lyme. And there really aren't any 100% accurate tests, but there are some labs that are doing a really good job of trying to, whittle it down. The best way you can actually, if you do get an acute Lyme infection, you can actually take that tick and have it analyzed. So that's another way to figure out if you are indeed infected with Lyme, if you did get bit, which is, it's pretty inexpensive to do that. But so, yeah, it is a huge problem. And the one other issue, which I, from what I know, is when with blood transfusions in the hospital and such, they're not screening for Lyme disease. So, you know, they screen for, you know, hepatitis and AIDS and things like that. But blood transfusions, when people are given blood transfusion, there's no screening for Lyme. So you can think, I mean, we're probably infecting a lot of people unknowingly in hospitals that are getting blood transfusions. So that's another issue, too.
Wow, that's almost unbelievable that hospitals would actually give people blood transfusions without screening for Lyme disease. That's incredible.
According to my knowledge, it's not on their radar for screening. So, you know, who knows, you know, the amount of transmissions, I'm sure, have increased because the amount of Lyme cases over the years have increased exponentially. So, and you could think probably a lot of blood donors might, you know, have Lyme and not know it. So it's kind of a really scary, you know, disease, because not only when you get bit by a tick, you might get Lyme, but you might get other co-infections in that tick, other bacteria, parasites that can just make your Lyme even worse. So that's another issue too, is the co-infections in the ticks that could be creating a lot of problems too. But you know, and a lot of people, about 50% of patients with Lyme disease can recall if they've even had a rash. So you know, half the people that have Lyme, you know, might not even know they've gotten bit. So it's kind of, you know, it's something that people don't really consider. when they're, you know, when they're when they have certain chronic disease states or issues, is that they might have Lyme, and I feel like bringing it to light, like I said, can really help people whittle away whether or not they do have it.
Well, it seems amazing to me. I would think that blood is being tested for bacteria routinely before it's being transfused.
Yes, but I don't think specifically for Lyme. It is tested, but I don't think specifically for Lyme, as far as I know. As far as I've spoken with my colleagues. And Dr. Martinez, who was supposed to be on the show, she's such a lovely person. She was, not currently, but she was an ILAD physician. So what that means is that she has the physician training from the International Lyme and Associated Diseases Society. And she had told me that word for word that a lot of the blood transfusions that are being done in hospitals, they are not screened for Lyme. Particularly. So, yeah, it's interesting.
So hopefully we can get her on the show in the future when she gets back from Mexico. Can you then talk about traditional treatment and also, you know, the holistic or naturopathic approach to treating Lyme disease?
Sure. Definitely. So typically when we get bit by a tick, so if for acute, so acute Lyme disease, if you get bit by a tick, there's a specific way you need to pull the tick out, really using a really fine needle tweezers to pull it out in the complete opposite way in which it has embedded. And usually the treatment protocol for acute Lyme in adults would be doxycycline. For children, it would be amoxicillin. And usually it's about a 30-day treatment of that. You take the antibiotic around, depending on what your doctor doses, but it's usually 2 to 3 times a day for 30 days. Some docs even do it for 6 weeks. And that should eradicate the Lyme altogether. However, you can get tested after you've gotten bitten. The best company that we would use as naturopathic physicians and even ILAD doctors use would be a company called iGenix, and it's spelled I-G-E-N-E-X, and they do a complete Lyme panel, and they also do a co-infection panel, too, to see if you've got any of the other bugs in there from the tick to see if, you know, because you really have to treat all of it, the Lyme and any co-infection. So that you can test to see if you have any active Lyme or co-infections lingering about for acute. Now, for chronic, it really, the treatment varies based upon the person. So a lot of physicians, I shadowed a physician when I was in medical school up in Portland area who specializes in Lyme. She's a naturopathic physician, and she did a bunch of different things just depending on the case of the patient. So she might do antibiotics via, you know, intravenously or intramuscularly. Or she might start with chelation therapy too. So that would be heavy metal detoxing as well, because a lot of times, you know, heavy metals can be the drains the heavy metals can be the hairs in our drainage system. So by removing those, we can kind of free up when the liver is kind of liberated, we're able to excrete other toxins. So, you know, there's different routes and ways to go about doing it. But when people, I've noticed that people with chronic Lyme usually have some sort of depressed immune system probably from the get-go, which kind of makes them more susceptible to having worse symptoms from the Lyme or the co-infections. So it really is a case-by-case basis, but a lot of the things that I feel is kind of a common thread amongst most physicians is improving the immune system in whatever way that can be through, nutrients, mushrooms, IV nutrients, whatever, and improving the gut function. So leaky gut syndrome can really wreak havoc on people with chronic Lyme. So doing a gluten-free, dairy-free, soy-free, sugar-free kind of diet can be really helpful. So, you know, because the gut is the entry point to our immune system, essentially. So it, you know, by working on the gut and gut health, that's a huge part of just, you know, initially treating chronic Lyme. But, like, they call Lyme disease the great imitator because it can look like so many other diseases. It could look like MS. It could look like, you know, like I said, chronic fatigue syndrome can be a symptom. It's really, chronic fatigue is just a diagnosis of exclusion typically, but it could look like fibromyalgia. You know, it could look like a lot of different things. So, you know, it's basically, a lot of it can be palliative, but it really is hard to treat once a lot of these people go into chronic Lyme. It just depends on a lot of people's immune systems.
You know, this is really interesting because as I was reading, it says that when the bacteria spreads throughout the bloodstream, it could cause or appear to have problems with the scrotum, probably meningitis, could be a mild encephalitis on the face, memory loss, and mm-hmm. it could even appear to have atrioventricular block. Have you heard about anything like that?
Some of the things that you've discussed, yes. Intraventricular block, no, I haven't heard of that. But a lot of the other things that you've discussed, yes. Like I say, it's they call it the great imitator because the spirochete can kind of morph into different in different ways, different disease processes. It's a really, you know, it can be a really scary thing. And the thing I want to educate people about today is that, you know, no one is safe in terms of getting Lyme. Depending on where you live, it we can get it anywhere, essentially, is kind of what I want to let people know.
You know, that's why I was saying it was kind of scary, because you can get on a plane, you can go to a hotel room. It doesn't really have to be in your home. It could even happen in the car, in the garden. I was outside in the garden yesterday, and I was never afraid of any kind of worm or any kind of insects. And after I read all this, I was terrified of a little spider. You never know what these things have now.
Well, typically you get it in wooded areas, areas that, you know, can breed a lot of bugs and insects. So, you know, out in the woods is usually the way that people can get Lyme, typically. That's where they live and breed and thrive the best. And so, yeah, that's the way that people are getting it. So if you are going outside and in wooded areas, you know, that could potentially have Lyme, it's good to wear long pants with long socks, long sleeve shirts. My son was bit in Florida, believe it or not. It's not even, you know, the CDC doesn't really consider it that much of a hotbed for Lyme. But he was bit a couple months ago and developed a bullseye rash. I found it probably about 36 hours after he was bit, and the tick was still embedded into his head, actually within his hairline. That's another common place, is in the hair. It was embedded into his hairline on his neck, and I pulled it out, and the tick was dead, but I did send it in to have it analyzed. I knew that Lyme was positive because he had the rash, but then I checked for a couple other co-infections that wouldn't be covered by the antibiotic that he was on, and thank God it was negative. But we were at the, you know, 36 hours prior to that, we were at a farm, a friend's farm, petting animals, and, you know, animals can be another vector too, you know, places that are wooded with lots of animals. So, you know, I just say I'm not a big fan of DEET or any of the, you know, the bug sprays and stuff, because they're really toxic, but it's just kind of being vigilant and not brushing off the fact when you get bit by a tick that, oh, I'll just, you know, watch and wait. That's never a good way to go about it. If you get bit by a tick, it's better to just go for the antibiotic for an extended amount of time, the 30 days to 6 weeks, versus doing nothing about it. Because 40% of Lyme patients actually will end up with long-term health problems. And, you know, they'll see, you know, doctor upon doctor upon doctor for years before actually being diagnosed with Lyme. So, you know, it definitely is necessary to be vigilant about it and not to brush it off. Because, it, like I say, it's really hard to treat once it goes into chronic Lyme. And, yeah.
When you say chronic Lyme, does it have the tick? That means that the tick is still in the body, or it's just a bacteria that has gone into the bloodstream?
Correct, yes. So the tick has gone, you know, typically the tick, you know, you pull the tick out or it falls off or whatever. But know that what's inside of these ticks, and it's different types of ticks, what's inside of these ticks actually carry the Lyme bacteria, which is a spirochete. So it basically, that tick is transmitting the Lyme disease, you know, through that bite into the bloodstream, and it goes systemic throughout the bloodstream over a period of time. Now, that's why it's, once you get bit, it is essential to take the appropriate antibiotics right away and not let it settle in, because it could settle into chronic Lyme, which is really, really hard to treat. So, but yeah, it is a nationwide problem. It's not just in the Northeast, which a lot of people believe it is, you know. And, you know, it's just really, like I say, test results sometimes can come up. Most of them have false negatives, not so much false positives, but a lot of the Lyme tests can come up false negative if you just do like a regular test through like LabCorp. Like I say, there's specific tests to see if you have it. But I think, you know, having a hearty immune system and doing things in a healthful way, if you have been bitten, so eating a healthy diet, you know, having good gut function, taking probiotics, doing a lot of these things to help, you know, so if you were bit, you know, it's all about building up your immune system and not breaking it down so that your body isn't left to potentially express that chronic Lyme disease.
So if somebody has Lyme disease and they get a cut, can you get it from another human being? In other words, if I was to put a Band-Aid on someone and I had a cut on my finger and some of their blood got into my bloodstream, could I then contract Lyme disease?
I don't know how infectious it is in that regard. However, I do believe, you know, and I've actually talked to another physician about this. I do believe that it could potentially be transmitted from mama to baby in the womb. Now, as far as blood to blood contact, I'm sure it is somewhat contagious or contractible in that way, but I'm not sure, like, how contagious. I have heard also from intercourse as well that you could potentially contract Lyme through semen. I have heard that as well. So, you know, it just, as far as the blood-to-blood contact, I mean, I wouldn't rule it out, you know. I would say you could potentially probably contract it from blood-to-blood contact for sure, just like hepatitis or HIV. How likely, I'm not sure. I know that's why I wanted Dr. Martinez to be here, because I'm sure she would have all the statistics as far as contractibility. But, you know, I know that mother to baby is a possibility, as well as intercourse, unprotected
so
intercourse.
What do you do, you know, as a naturopath physician? Can you talk about your treatment regimen? What do you do to help people?
Well, typically what we would do is a lot of people that come and see me, they've already been diagnosed. If they haven't, if they are have, you know, certain symptoms that point towards Lyme, then we would do a complete Lyme panel with complete co-infection panel to see if they have any co-infections from the tick bite. And then what I would do immediately is work on the gut. Start changing the diet, getting them on a gluten-free, dairy-free, sugar-free, you know, basically an allergenic-free diet that and heal the gut, like I said. I would do high-dose probiotics, enzymes with meals, maybe a little hydrochloric acid to help break food down, and something to actually heal the gut lining from, you know, basically the mouth to the anus. Do some sort of gut healing in between meals using, like, slippery elm or marshmallow root or something like that. So we would start with the gut first and foremost. I know a lot of physicians have had success with doing hyperbaric oxygen therapy. So, you know, using like soft chambers, more so than hard chambers, because a lot of my colleagues actually have soft chambers versus the hard hyperbaric oxygen chambers, and basically just supersaturating the blood plasma with oxygen. And because a lot of, you know, neurological issues, a lot of Lyme's disease are manifest into neurological issues. So by supersaturating the plasma with hyperbaric oxygen therapy and doing oxygen, you know, going into an oxygen chamber for about an hour, 5 days a week for 4 weeks, that could help a lot too. I'm not a fan of the standard protocol of antibiotics for chronic Lyme disease. Now, for acute Lyme disease, yes, I totally believe in it. But for chronic, I feel like it's not, for me personally, I don't feel like it's the best end result. You know, it might be a short-term fix. They might feel better in the short term, but I don't feel like long-term it is the answer. So IV therapies, we do a lot of IV therapies. So, you know, it just depends on the patient, because every patient is so different. One patient might react to one type of IV where another one might react well. It really is different amongst them all. But I feel like the one IV therapy that works the best with Lyme patients is called phosphatidylcholine, which is the phospholipids are part of our cell membrane. And so when we flood the body with intravenous phospholipids, we're able to kind of replenish our cell membranes, which makes it more malleable and permeable to nutrients and things that we need to make our body run better. So there's no one-size-fits-all for treating chronic Lyme, but I definitely feel like, you know, those are some of the main components that a lot of patients can respond really well to. But definitely, you know, what a person can do on their own to help build their immune system is just good gut health and nutrition. Eating the right foods, eating foods that aren't going to deplete the immune system and, you know, make you kind of vulnerable to expressing this really serious bug.
Well, that's all very interesting. I really didn't have Lyme disease on my radar, but I certainly have it on there now. I do know people that have really been debilitated. A newscaster in San Diego, I know, who, you know, caught the disease in the Northeast. But it certainly seems like this is a topic that's not being talked about enough.
No, it's not. Like I say, I think because it presents in so many other ways that it's not being looked at as the root cause of a lot of these symptoms, you know? And so a lot of doctors are chasing symptoms or chasing other types of manifestations or potential, you know, diagnoses, when the underlying root cause could potentially be Lyme. And that's always a rule out for us as naturopathic physicians, is this Lyme. You know, we really can't assume anything when we have a patient with multiple signs or symptoms or issues that, you know, because it could present in any way, shape, or form. So having it on people's radar, I think, and actually letting people know more about the occurrence of Lyme in our society will hopefully, once we spread the word, people will be a little bit more forthright with their health and, you know, demanding better care.
Wow. And so I heard you mention repeatedly that, you know, you take care of your gut. So diet and, you know, getting proper nutrients is integral to the treatment of this disease, is what I'm hearing you say.
Correct, yes. That is first and foremost. If a patient is not eating a clean diet, and, you know, like I always say in every show, our bodies are a vessel, and every time we are putting, you know, toxins in it, you know, eating foods that aren't organic, or, you know, breathing car dust, or eating tuna with heavy metals, or whatever it may be, if we're not emptying our cup or stopping the adding to our cup, then we're not going to be helping ourselves. So the gut is the entry point to the immune system. You know, if we don't have a good gut function and if we're not eating the foods that are going to support good gut function, then we're going to just be chasing our tail. You know, we're not going to get to the root cause. That's the first and foremost foundational treatment plan for most naturopathic physicians when treating Lyme, or really any chronic disease process, is to heal the gut. Because, you know, our gut, and I think I've mentioned this before, it's like, you know, the barrier of our gut lining is kind of like a screen. And when we're eating foods that aren't supporting gut health, we're basically punching holes in that screen. And our immune system is kind of vulnerable to receiving certain virus, bacteria, leaky gut syndrome, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So it's really imperative to see food as medicine first and foremost. If you don't see food as medicine and medicine as food, then you're really missing the boat. And, you know, working on gut health is beneficial in every single disease process or diagnosis that there is on the planet, really. I mean, food is the number one thing that people can control on their own to help improve their immune system, for sure.
I see, and that's really a good way to put it, you know, looking at food as medicine, and actually heading off certain diseases based upon the foods that you eat and repairing the body. I mean, that's what food does, right? It gives you nutrients that help you repair the body. You have, you know, dead skin cells that you're washing off, and the body is continuously rejuvenating itself. And so it only makes sense that we would be intaking nutrients to help in that process. So this is really an epiphany for me in terms of realizing that we have something like Lyme disease out here that can really change your plans.
Yeah, it can definitely alter a lot of what's going on physiologically with a person. And yeah, you know, certain foods, like I like to explain to my patients, there are foods that are what's called anabolic, or building to the body and nourishing and healing, and there are foods that are catabolic or destructive and can create disease or proliferate disease. And if you look at food that way, you know, when you make food choices and say, is this food going to be a catabolic or anabolic food? Is this building or is this depleting my body? Just, you know, gluten and lots of wheat products, processed foods, packaged foods, cookies, cakes, you know, those are all going to be catabolic. You know, they're going to wreak havoc on your gut and your immune system. You know, sugar in and of itself depresses the immune system, depresses white blood cell production pretty quickly after its consumption. So, you know, that I think by having a different relationship with food and how people view it can make a huge impact on people's overall health.
We actually have a caller from area code 949, prefix 515. Did you want to ask the doctor a question or make a statement?
Yes, I would like to make a statement. My statement is my girlfriend returned from the East Coast in January after having had suffered from this Lyme's. She got back on the East Coast when she was out in the wooded area. And for 3.5 years, she's been going to every medical and was diagnosed with everything from even being a hypochondriac, getting old. I mean, they just were putting her through everything. And the symptoms kept showing up. But when she finally went to a Lyme specialist on the East Coast and got the diagnosis, did the test, for the first time, she realized that there was hope for her once she had a name and a face to it. And the reason I'm calling is because she and I we've launched a campaign to help her get the funds she needs to pay for an integrated medical and holistic protocol. And I'm so grateful that you are out there helping spread the word. Since we put this funding program up, we've had 6 people contact us already. And she's been able to help them, give them resources, and we'll just add you all to our resource because this is so shocking that it's out there. The research we've done said there's probably 500,000 people in the USA in every state that are carrying it and are clueless, actually clueless. And not only that, even the doctors are clueless. And when they do, sometimes the protocols, the medical protocols, straight medical protocols, are so hard on people. We went to a Lyme support group, and this one young man who had gotten the IVs had burned out his nervous system. I mean, it's like, but I'm so grateful that you're giving us hope with this wonderful Jessica telling us that there are natural things we can do. We can support our own health, immune health. Thank you so much.
Oh, yeah. You're welcome. Thank you so much for the call. Thank you for your story. And that's what's really sad about Lyme, what your friend experienced, is the fact that doctors, the traditional medical community and you know, certain physicians and practitioners make people feel like they are hypochondriacs and that they're crazy and that they're malingering and, you know, what they're experiencing isn't real. This diagnosis gives validity to those folks so that they can understand what is going on with their body and how they can, you know, move on to treat it. And I think the best website for support, and I don't know if you know this website, is the ILADS website. It's ILADS.org. It's ILADS.org. And I go there when I need to look up something about Lyme or, you know, want a quick fact or want to look up a physician, you can actually look up an ILADS physician on that website. Now, some ILADS physicians might be more conventional versus holistic. It's just you have to really kind of weed out what you want as a patient in your care. You know, what we offer might not be for everyone. So, but I feel like that website really does give some good information.
Well, I wanted to thank you personally because I've found that while I've been helping my girlfriend, and we have begun to realize that, you know, it's an immune situation, but in America, I just saw a thing on the Internet that so many people are suffering from candida, which is also attacking the immune systems. So by your talking about, it really all begins in your colon. It begins with, you know, balancing that and making that healthy is so vital and so important. I thank you. I can't thank you enough for this this program today, and I'm hoping that it will be archived, that I can post it out there to to all our family and friends.
Well,
yes, it'll
so
definitely be archived. Caller, can you give me your name and perhaps you have a web address? You said you're trying to get funding. Can you give that to us as well?
Yes, my name is Amber A. Penrose, and we have a funding program for Jessie Savara, and it's for her Lyme's disease.
Okay, you kind of tapered off. I couldn't really hear you.
I said Amber A. Penrose. I'm on Facebook. And
okay,
the,
and your funding website is?
It's, I'm giving it to you right now. It is.
Well, just give it to me
give
on
forward.
Facebook.
It's called, okay, it's called Give Forward. And it's helping, we're asking family and friends to help her get enough money so that she can buy all the natural protocol because it's really a lifestyle change from the guts up, if you get my meaning. And so to go totally organic, no GMO, no gluten, no dairy, I mean, that's a huge life change style that she needs funding with. Because she hasn't been able to work. For about 3 years, she hasn't been able to really work, and she pushes herself so hard. Her name is Jessie, and she's such a giving person. All her life, she's been out there for everyone else, and now she needs help, and it's been very hard for her to even ask for help. But finally, some of her friends, you know, convinced her she needs to do this.
Well, we certainly want to make sure we get help for her. And so I'm asking the audience, anybody listening to this show, to please distribute this to your social network on Facebook and Pinterest, Google+, as well as the rest of our shows. We have a whole series of shows with Dr. Heyman on a variety of topics. And Jessica, I was wondering if you could, you know, address this young woman in terms of being able to help her friend. Do you think that if we could get her into your facility, would you be able to help her?
Well, I feel I could help her. However, I feel like it's best to find someone in your area. Where is Jessie located?
We're in Orange County, California.
Oh, you're in Orange County. Okay.
Yeah.
I would go. What I would do is go to the iLads website, iLads.org.
Okay.
And there is. These are all physicians. You know, the ones that are sponsored on iLabs.org are all physicians who are very well trained about Lyme and its treatment.
Okay.
And there are naturopathic physicians, there are MDs, there are DOs that are educated through iLabs. And then what I would do is I would find someone in your area because really the treatment is going to need to be ongoing. And you can't, okay. You know, it's too much money to come here and do all that. And I'm not an iLabs trained physician. So Dr. Martinez, who's one of my colleagues and very, very close friends, she is an iLabs trained physician. However, she is actually moving into another direction with her practice, so she's not seeing a lot of Lyme. However, if you go onto the iLabs website, you can find a physician on there in your area. What they do is they'll email you the information. You just kind of put in where you're located, and then they'll kind of give you a list. And what you have to do is basically, you know, go through that list of physicians and see which one matches Jessie's, you know, needs the best. Because
okay.
some might need some of those physicians might be more allopathic, meaning more conventionally minded, and others might be more naturopathic or, you know, naturally minded about Lyme. It just depends. Everyone is different. So, but iLabs, the International Lyme and Associated Diseases Society, they, like I say, they are the leaders in Lyme disease and in the education and training component. So I would highly recommend you find a physician in your area.
Thank you, Jessica. Thank you very much. I really appreciate your program today. And I feel like you're a blessing to more people than you even realize as this word gets out. And we're finding out that as we put out our, you know, our little messages in our small group, it's already people are calling her. A friend just returned from Colorado, her daughter returned from Colorado with a little tick, and they brought her right over to Jesse, and Jesse knew exactly what to do, go right to the hospital, have them remove it surgically and save the tick and analyze it, and then immediately help her get on the most natural protocol that was available. But she had options, and, you know, a lot of people wouldn't even know what to do. So I bless you, because some of the documentaries that I've seen about it, some of these people have suffered for 20 or 30 years not even knowing what it was, and everybody thinking they were crazy. And so thank you for shedding light on this situation, and hope, most of all hope, because some of the people that have it and know they have it feel hopeless. But at least you've given them a whole new way to look at it, a whole way, new way to address it. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for the kind words. Thank you for coming on the show and sharing your story and letting everyone know that this is a real, you know, this is really happening. Like I said, I see it often, and I see it with, you know, colleagues and their patients, and it is a very real thing, and I feel like it's been dismissed by our traditional medical model. And, you know, really the foods that our government allows us to eat as being safe is actually, I think, what is causing a lot of this immune depression and actually expressing this chronic Lyme in very voracious ways. So, like I say, if you can control the diet component, that's a huge part, because the food that the FDA deems is safe to eat, are genetically modified foods that are sprayed with, you know, 13 different pesticides, herbicides, and fungicides as being safe, it's doing us a disservice, and it's causing a lot of gut dysfunction, which is causing immune dysfunction. So if we can just start eating cleaner and being more conscious about that, I feel like that's just a step in the right direction for patients that are, you know, have a Lyme diagnosis, and for Jesse in particular.
Thank you very much. Really appreciate this show. I can't tell you. It was like a breath of fresh air to see someone out there that has the knowledge and the credentials that you have and the other guests on your show have that make it possible for people who have been suffering. I mean, watching her, sometimes she's cried. She can't make up her mind to do things in the middle of the night. She feels like she's, sometimes you feel like you're losing your mind as this proliferates through your body. And I thank you so much for helping people realize they're not crazy. This is real, and there is something wonderful you can do for yourself, as well as get professional help.
Definitely, yeah, getting the professional help. I always tell patients, I don't treat diseases, I treat people. It's all about the individual, you know. Every person's different.
That's so true. You're so right. Oh, thank you so much. Really appreciate this show today.
Thank you.
One of the great things about this radio show is that we are here and we're accessible to people. Although we go around the world and we have so many exciting shows in our archive, one of the shows that is very popular with Dr. Heyman is the show about gluten sensitivity. And so we're getting a lot of downloads, and we have a lot of shows about chronic diseases with Dr. Heyman that have really changed my life. I have really improved my livelihood and my quality of life based upon some of these shows. I've learned so much listening and participating in the shows myself. So please be sure to pass the link on to Progress in the World on to your family, friends, and constituents. You know, you may save their lives. We have many shows on cancer with Dr. Forsythe and a lot of other exciting shows that are going to be coming in a whole series throughout the summer with Dr. Heyman as well. Dr. Heyman, I want to make sure that, you know, you put out the information on this topic that you want to get out. And so what else do you want to share with us about Lyme disease?
I would like to just share with patients, so if the bottom line is if you're feeling like you're getting the runaround. You're having symptoms that aren't getting properly addressed, or you're getting brushed off by your practitioner, physician, with, you know, what's going on with how you're feeling, whether that might be depressive disorders, chronic fatigue, neurological issues, whatever it may be. Please do not miss Lyme. You know, that is a definite rule out. Chronic Lyme disease is a definite rule out for most of my patients. So, but like I say, the best thing you can do is try to do things on a daily basis to help improve your immune system. And food is being, you know, the definite foundation for that. But, I just feel like having some sort of form and medium to let people know if you feel like you're getting the runaround. Because on average about, you know, every Lyme patient sees about 5 physicians within a 2-year time frame before actually getting the proper diagnosis. So if you feel like you fall into that category where you're, you know, chasing symptoms or, you know, not getting the proper attention, I really encourage you to go to the iLADS website. It's ILADS.org and find a Lyme physician to actually test you with the appropriate testing and to get to the bottom of it. But a lot of tests, even if your current physician does run a Lyme panel on you, it might necessarily, you know, might come out negative. There are a lot of false negatives, so you really have to go through the correct medium to get those proper tests done. And like I said, iGenix, they are probably the best lab testing company specifically for Lyme. And you can even send in your ticks without a physician's note. So if you do have a tick and you want it to be analyzed, you can send it to iGenix, and they will test it for Lyme, and they can test it for other co-infections like Babesia and Bartonella and all the other you know, co-infections that could be attributed to that tick. So I do encourage people to save their ticks always if you do get bit. And even if you don't get a rash with an acute Lyme, you know, if you have been bitten acutely by a tick, I do encourage you to speak with your physician, because 50% of people who are bit by a tick can get acute Lyme disease. And if untreated, can go into chronic Lyme disease where, you know, it's a host of symptoms that, you know, your physician might not be aware of it being actually related to Lyme. So that's kind of what I, you know, wanted to get across today in a nutshell about Lyme.
Well, that's wonderful information, and I'm sure that information is going to improve the lives of many people. We hope that it does. Amber, you're still on the line there.
Yes, I'm on the line, and I wanted to thank her because, in my opinion, not only is she giving hope to the people who may have any of those existing conditions that she spoke about, but it's also a prevention for me. In other words, I can do this to be preventive, to be ready, build up my immune system so that it's strong and it can handle things that come out, because it seems to be proliferating here in our world today. A lot of situations, health situations that you just addressed, and I can be prevention-minded.
Definitely. I feel like even if you don't have any of the symptoms, or, you know, you feel like you're relatively healthy, there's so much that you can do on a daily basis just to build your immune system. And that goes for really any sort of, you know, chronic disease state. So, you know, if there's a chronic infection, or if you have an autoimmune disease, or, you know, even cancer. So, you know, there are things that you can do, and just being educated about Lyme and not brushing it off. If you don't live in the Northeast, you know, definitely don't brush it off, because you could be in California and contract Lyme.
You know, this is really interesting. I always thought about ticks. I never thought I could ever get anything from ticks. I never thought I would be so close to them. And to, you know, just to know that you can go on a plane, even in sitting in a public place, you can get a tick. It doesn't really have to do with being clean. It's just being around the garden. public places. This is really dangerous, and I'm really happy to have the show in the air to allow people to hear that this is going to be crucial to everybody, especially people with babies.
Oh, definitely, yeah. With children, it's like I said, my son was three when he got bit, I had that fear. I was like, immediately, I'm like, this kid needs to get on antibiotics right away. You know, you can't take it lightly, because the last thing I want for my child is him to develop chronic Lyme disease down the road. So, yeah, definitely the watch and wait mentality is not the way to go.
Well, this is wonderful, and it's exactly what I'm hoping to accomplish with this radio show. It's to get people involved, people calling in. In Progress in the World, we try to be accessible. We're not like, you know, Al Jazeera and CNN and some of the other shows where this is your show. This is a show that belongs to the citizens of the world, good citizens of the world. We're trying to improve our conditions and our knowledge, and so this is why I'm so passionate about providing a mouthpiece for people like Dr. Heyman, Dr. Forsythe, and Amber, to call in. And so we have a whole series of wonderful shows that are going to be coming up. Some of you may have been following the shows we've been doing on the mass shootings. And so we are focused right now on the fraud of psychiatry and how people are being given these psychotropic medications, and they're actually going out and committing suicide and killing people. All of the latest mass shootings that we've had have all had people involved with some type of psychotropic drug. So I'm encouraging people to look at cchr.org. It is a website where we're documenting how psychotropics are actually killing people. So we have 18 to 22 veterans committing suicide every single day because they're being given these medications by the military hospitals and the VA. And so the entire public is at danger. So this thing that we're talking about now, the Lyme disease, further points to some of the irresponsibility involved with the traditional medical profession. So I think we put far too much trust into what doctors tell us. Some of it is profit-driven. Some of it is driven by pharmaceutical industries that want to make a profit. Some of it is driven by ignorance. So we all have a responsibility to ourselves and our families to take the extra step to look further. Not that I'm trying to dissuade people from going to traditional doctors, but I'm saying think about utilizing doctors like Dr. Jessica Heyman, who have knowledge that these so-called traditional doctors don't have. And it could be the difference between life and death. It could be the difference between a quality of life and having your life altered in a way in which is irreparable. And so Dr. Jessica Heyman's philosophy about prevention, eating foods that are healthy, also utilizing things around the house that are not toxic when you're cleaning. And so certainly I've changed my lifestyle for the better. I'm a survivor of cancer because of doctors like Dr. Jessica Heyman, who talked to me about so-called alternative ways of treatment. I didn't get chemotherapy and radiation, and so I don't have the terrible side effects that people typically get. So I just want to bring to your attention that we have additional shows with Dr. Heyman that are going to be coming up. Our next show with her is going to be on Sunday, July the 20th. And Dr. Heyman, I can't believe I got to wait this long before you come back on my show again. But we're going to be talking about weekly practices for wellness, cancer prevention, and her top five natural supplements to help patients with cancer. And August the 10th, we'll be talking about hyperbaric oxygen therapy and chronic disease. And again, these shows are always going to be at 10 o'clock in the morning Pacific on Progress in the World. Tomorrow, we have a wonderful show with Dr. Jean Stolzer from Nebraska. It's going to be infants, toddlers, and psychotropic drugs. Believe it or not, little infants are being given psychotropic drugs at as young as the age of 2, which is incredible. And so they're developing suicidal, homicidal patterns even at that young age. They're being pushed down that road, as we just saw with the Santa Barbara shootings, the young man there, Santa Barbara stabbings, and that the young man was given psychotropic drugs at a very young age. We're going to be again having a Dr. Forsythe from Reno, Nevada, who's going to be talking about fatigue, sleep, and pain in cancer patients, and that's going to be on the 10th of July. That'll be at 1 p.m. in the afternoon, and we're rescheduling his show regarding sexuality and cancer. So, again, I just want to highlight the importance of sharing the links to Progress in the World with your family, friends, and constituents. Dr. Heyman, I want to respect your time. We are at 11 o'clock, so I'm prepared to go on further, but I'm also inviting you to go ahead and make any closing statements to our audience now if you want to close the show.
Thank you so much, Walter. I love being here and expressing my thoughts on medicine and health. And I just wanted to say, please check out the ILADS website, ilads.org. If you do suspect that your health concerns aren't being answered and no one can come up with a proper diagnosis for you. So thank you again for allowing me the opportunity to speak on your show today. I appreciate it.
And Amber, did you have anything in closing for Dr. Heyman?
Well, I just want to keep you encouraged to do what you're doing, because I really feel it's a time for our planet to wake up. And I would like to ask permission of both of you. I happen to be associated with a magazine called the Oracle Odyssey magazine. It's a free press. It originated with the original Free Press, and we are on Facebook. And we are an oracle telling people what is possible. There's so many people that don't even know they have choices. They don't even know what's possible. So I would like to put you into our tribe of tribes and let people see that there's hope out there. There's things that they can educate themselves to, if I have your permission.
Oh, yes.
Definitely.
Please put me down. And, you know, I'll be more than happy to interview any of you on the radio show on a regular basis where you can share your knowledge. We're doing some fantastic things. We just did a forum yesterday on human trafficking and slave trade, where we had members of the Filipino community, Latino community, all come together, and we had a fantastic forum to educate people about human trafficking and slave trade. So we're touching topics that the mainstream media, or lamestream media, as they say, they don't approach these things. So we're surely amenable, to highlighting the work that you're doing with the Oracle magazine, and we're here to assist you in any way that we can.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I will send you a link to that, and then you can check it out, because we are, you know, we're also an event. We just did Lucidity, had a big festival, and thousands of people came to that, and it's a whole new way of experiencing positive, holistic, natural lifestyles. And while they're there, they get into that higher vibration, and they learn about natural foods and music and art, and it's a way of helping people understand the new possibilities without being too over, clinical or too over technical, but have them absorb it right into their body, their mind, their spirit. So I will send you that.
That's wonderful.
I feel that the holistic way, the natural way, is the only way for the future. And I'm so glad that we're just starting this. And hopefully, with everybody listening, we're going to start a new life for everybody.
I second that emotion.
Definitely.
And I'm getting all kinds of comments right now, by the way, all kind of comments and on my phone. People are texting me. People are coming up on Facebook saying, wonderful show and God bless me and things like that. And that makes me feel really good that, you know, people are actually listening. They're paying attention. We're reaching a lot of people. But we can do more with your help if you simply share the links to Progress in the World with your family, friends, and constituents on your social media. Go to my YouTube channel, Walter Davis Global Broadcasting, and also to my Walter Davis channel, and you'll find a plethora of interviews that we've conducted throughout the years, and I'm hoping that we can get Dr. Heyman to do some internet television with us. We have the capability of interviewing people no matter where they are in the world on our internet television shows. We have automated webinars. We have very sophisticated technology. And soon we'll have a mobile app available in which people will be able to share our shows with their constituents. And we do have a closed family app, two of those actually called Community Coalition. So we already have one, or actually two mobile apps available, but we're going to have very sophisticated interactive mobile apps in the very near term that are going to help us in terms of passing information like this out for discussion. So, Jessica, any other comments? And again, I want to thank you so much for taking the time and making yourself available for this.
Well, thank you so much, Walter. No, I love being here on the show and talking about these sorts of issues. I guess just thank you for having me, and I look forward to being a part of your future shows. And thank you so much for having these other two wonderful ladies on the show, too, with their comments and adding to the show. It really was wonderful. Thank you.
Great. And Amber, did you have any further information? Did you want to give a link to your magazine or anything else?
I will send it to you. It's called The Oracle of Laguna Beach, and it's a takeoff from the 60s when it was the counterculture magazine, and now we call it counterconspiracy. we are showing people that there's options that they may not even know they have, just like Jessica gave us today. And so I bless you in this work. That's the last word I want to say is bless you for doing this, and I'm going to help you promote it everywhere I possibly can.
Well, thank you.
Well, outstanding. We are going to be embedding all of the links that have been mentioned into the body of this broadcast. Some of you may be listening on your cell phones and you were not able to write down the websites. Would have no fear. I will be embedding those websites into the description of this broadcast. And again, I want to encourage everyone to look at PolyMBA. That's the thing that saved my life when I had cancer, and I still use it today. Just like the person told me, if you love somebody and they have cancer, tell them about PolyMBA. www.polymba.com. It is integral that we continue to pursue educating ourselves about holistic methodologies, and like Dr. Heyman says, our bodies are like a vessel. When they start filling up with toxins, we have to empty the cup out. And if you let that cup fill up and overflow, then you're going to be setting yourself up for disease. And the colon area, our intestines, those are the areas where disease starts. So we have to keep that clean. You've got to practice using things like bentonite to cleanse your body. I'm trying to pronounce this word without sounding stupid, but it's something that Dr. Heyman has exposed me to, glutathione. I think that I said that right. Dr. Heyman, by the way, you didn't tell me about that terrible smell. I have my glutathione face now. I'm going to send you a picture of how that looks. But why is it that things that are so good for you smell so bad? Oh, my God. I'm very used to it now, and I want you to send me some more of that. Wonderful stinky stuff, but I feel so much better. It reduces inflammation in the body. My gut seems like it's going down. That it's working on that. and I feel more energetic throughout the whole day. I don't feel as fatigued as I did before. I've increased my poly-MBA. I had actually decreased that because it tended to make me feel sluggish, but now I'm going to get up from here and go cut some rose bushes in the front of my house. That's how good I feel. So again, I want to thank you so much, all of you, for being on board. Please share the links and tell your friends and family about progress in the world. This is Walter Davis saying goodbye to you from lovely Canyon Lake, California. Thank you very much for listening.